Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
When Father looked down on his own precious lamb, tender, tender, his mercies toward you.
This is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Sky's Revival Radio, where we are all about the power of the gospel. There's a great need to get back to the gospel today, for we have come up with a new version of Christianity which leaves out the gospel. You wouldn't think that would be possible, would you? But we've done it. We've come up with a gospel that leaves out the words of Jesus. So our mission is to turn everyone everywhere back to the Gospels, where we find that the power of the Savior's words has not been diminished. We challenge people to the 30-page challenge. Read the Gospel of Matthew for yourself. You'll find it shocking and refreshing and full of power. As you read, you'll come across things which will be contrary to the comfortable new version of Christianity that we've all become used to. As you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll come across words like the ones we're going to look at today. Today, we're turning to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." From this short verse, you can see why we tend to avoid the Gospels at all cost. These words of Jesus himself are very uncomfortable, and they don't fit at all with our new gospel, which is that we can love the world and love God. We can seek and have all the things of the world and still have God. It's really the perfect gospel for our soft Western culture. What could be better than having all the comforts and pleasures of the world and the esteem of man and still have a wonderful eternity as well? And so we flock to these teachings. Not only do we not have to change our comfortable, distracted lifestyles one bit, but we are actually taught that it is good and right to love the world. In fact, we are taught that we are being good and prudent if we are good stewards with what God has given us. Well, there's some truth to us being required to be good stewards, but what we have done is twisted it into such a way that it gives us license to accumulate all the things of the world, to hold fast to them, to cling to them, and to love them. And we can do it all under the guise of being good stewards. And so we're filled with all covetousness and all love for the world. And we do it in the name of Christianity, in the name of being good stewards. But if we look closely, we see that a steward does not own anything. A steward is managing somebody else's property. And that means nothing that we have or own is ours. It all belongs to the Lord, and that we must be willing to hold on to it very loosely, because the Lord might say, "I want you to give it all away." which I have personally witnessed he does from time to time. But in the name of being a good steward, we hold tightly to the things of the world and we serve our God of money. And we think it's okay. And we have the approval of those around us. We use this word to justify pursuing all the things of the world just like someone who doesn't know God. Our lifestyles are no different from the people in the world. How can this be? How can we serve the same things? How can we look identical to those around us and say that it is okay, that it is good? But Jesus says something else. He says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot love God and the world. Nor is this some obscure passage taken out of context, because we see the Apostle John speaking clearly on the same matter. He says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here he is making a clear distinction that you can only have one or the other. You cannot have both. Our version of Christianity today makes it so that you can love both the world and God too, but you can't. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You cannot serve two masters. If we are loving the world, seeking the things of the world, and we call ourselves Christians, we're deceiving ourselves. We actually must decide who we're going to serve. We have to decide between the world and Jesus. We can love one or the other, but not both, because they are completely contrary to each other. Now, I know this is shocking to many people who are listening today, but it's nothing new. I'm not saying anything new here. This is the age-old gospel, which has been changing lives for thousands of years. It's just become so lost in the last few decades, it's almost like a foreign language to us now. And that's why it's so important for us to keep going back to the Word. Now, let's take this into real life. Let's take these two short verses and apply them to ourselves. That we cannot serve two masters, and we cannot love the world and love God. We'll apply it to ourselves and see what it looks like. Well, we are geniuses at this new gospel. As Christians, we are geniuses at serving God and something else, of loving God and loving a bunch of other things as well. We have a pantheon of gods, and we just try to add God into our temple with all of our other gods there residing undisturbed. And so all kinds of ministries evolve from this. It becomes God and motorcycles. It becomes God and filmmaking, or God and acting, or God and modeling, or God and writing. It's me, my heart's delight, and God, just the three of us. But it's the and that we're really excited about, and that's where our real love is. But if you have a true heart for God, He will divide these things from us until it is not God and motorcycles. It's just God and God. It's not God and sports. It's God and God. It's not God and being a great whatever. It's God and God. Jesus requires us to lay down our idols. He challenges people to prove their love for God by laying down all of their ands. That's the test of a true disciple. Get rid of your idol and then tell me that you still love Jesus. Now it means something. I say it again. Lay down your idol and tell me you still love Jesus, and I will applaud you, and I will congratulate you, and I will say, welcome to the fellowship of the unashamed. Lay down your passions and your dreams, and that greatest of all passions, the desire for greatness, and learn about God. Learn of the Lord, who is humble and lowly, until he alone becomes your foundation. When we come to the place where we have only God for our foundation, when he is our first love, our last love, and every love in between, when we have learned to love God more than the world, then and only then can we become useful to him. Before we reach that point, we can do all kinds of activity for God, but the end result will simply mislead us and others. He said, we can do nothing apart from him, and he actually meant that. Now, of course, we can do all sorts of things for God, but it just won't have any eternal value. So he pares us down to him and him alone so that we personally are safe and don't get swept away by our passions, by our ends. And that's how we become truly useful. He wants to divide the thing or the things from us and separate us to himself. Now, how do we know if we have arrived at this point yet? How do we know if God has done his real work in us? Well, simple. Take this test and apply it to every area of your life. If that thing were entirely removed from your life, would you still be able to walk joyfully with Jesus? Would you still have victory? Would Jesus be your all in all? Would he be your heart's delight? Could you say, my bike is gone, but it doesn't matter because Jesus is the love of my life. My career has just gone down in flames, but Jesus is my rock. My life is hidden in Christ. Once that is thoroughly established, God can begin to really use us. He's not willing to lose us to anyone or anything that we are supposedly doing for him. But once we are willing to go the whole distance with him and we allow him to take these hindrances and these distractions, now he is able to use us for his kingdom. Let us look to the example of our father of faith, Abraham, who willingly went to sacrifice the delight of his heart in order to please God and to make him his all in all. Abraham serves as the model for all his godly offspring. Let us take these words to heart and let us serve the Lord alone. And I know it's a long process, and it's difficult, and it's painful. I've been going through this work myself, or I couldn't speak of it. And so God will put his finger on one thing after another that has come between us and him. He will put his hand on the things that we love more than him, and he will ask you to surrender them. And as you do, a wonderful thing takes place. God starts to become God in your life, and he will also begin to fill you up with an unearthly joy, a joy that is not from the world and a joy that the world can't take away. The more we surrender our false gods and our passions, the more we find he fills us up with himself and he fills us up with joy unspeakable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we see that your word is ageless, and it doesn't matter what the trends of the present world are, or what is popular today, or what we have contrived to be Christianity, it does not diminish the power of your word. You said that we are to love you more than anything. We are to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would examine our hearts today, even right now, and that we would see the things in our lives that we love more than you, and we would lay these things down on the altar. Lord, that you would burn them up, that you might become our true heart's delight, and that we might be safe in you no matter what happens to our world. Lord, this is the safety that we have in you, a joy that is constant, a joy that is true, that will not fail when the things of the world collapse. So we come to you today, Lord, that you might make us built on the foundation of Christ alone. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would raise up the bride of Christ, spotless, shining, full of love for you, undivided in our affections. Lord, that we would love you more than anything else in the world. I pray you would accomplish this great work in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.